Hey, early risers, how you doing? Thanks for getting up early. So glad you're here this weekend. I want to welcome those of you that are online as well. Hey, if you have a Bible, I want you to open it up to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4, we're going to get into that in just a moment. Before we do that, though, we're going to receive our offering. So if the ushers want to come forward, and as they're coming forward, I just want to make mention, you know, we're still in January, starting out the new year, and as followers of Jesus, one of the things that's really important that we do is we make sure we do our money God's way. Our money God's way, and part of God's way, as far as our money goes, is giving back to God what He asks us to give. Giving is a very important part of our discipleship. And, you know, the Bible talks about the importance of followers of Jesus tithing, giving back to God 10% of our income. And if you're not doing that, that's something you need to work up toward and try to make sure that you're obeying the Lord in your giving. Again, it's early in the year. It's a great time to focus on that. And it really matters when you and I give back to God. It matters to God, shows Him that we love Him and we worship Him. It matters to us because it shows ourselves that we really are trying to be disciples of Jesus. And it matters to other people because God uses our money to bless people in all kinds of ways. So we're going to pause for a moment and pray, ask God to bless our tithes and offerings whenever we give those. I know many of you give online as I do, or automated as I do, or in the bags. However, whenever we give, that God would bless that. And also, let's pray and ask God to speak to us out of the Bible today. Okay, would you pray with me? Lord, as we give back to You, we do pray, God, that You would take the money that we give and You would use it to lift up and glorify the name of Jesus, and You would use it to bless people's lives in all kinds of ways. And Lord, we pray that You would bless us in our faithfulness to You with our finances as we give, Lord. And God, as we look into the Scriptures now and we worship You by studying Your Word, I pray, Holy Spirit, that You would speak very clearly into each and every heart, whether they're online or in person, and that You be glorified, God, by all that is done, all that is said here at the Vineyard. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we started a new series a couple of weeks ago called Equipped for Life. And we've been telling you that, you know, the difference between success and failure in life is oftentimes determined by the equipment that we use. For example, would you ever be a very good golfer if you always had to use a baseball bat for a golf club? No, you wouldn't be very successful, would you? Why? Because it's not the right equipment. God wants us to use the right equipment. And thankfully, God has given us the right equipment in life in order to be successful. But we need to know what that equipment is, and we need to know how to use it properly. So a couple weekends ago, we talked about the importance of the Bible as part of our equipment for life. And then last weekend, we talked about the importance of the church. Now this weekend, we're going to talk about something that probably many of you don't think about as far as equipping you for life. And that is the subject of problems. Problems. Does anybody have problems in their life besides me in this room? Anybody have problems? Yeah, we all have problems, don't we? And did you know that God oftentimes will use problems in our life in order to equip us and mature us? But I know that a lot of people, maybe you're this way, a lot of people think that when they're going through a problem of some kind, that God must be mad at them. You know, people think, well, I must really be out of God's will because I have this big problem that I'm going through. No, not necessarily at all. Problems come into our life for all kinds of reasons. Sometimes problems come into our life because of some sort of sin that we committed. Other times, problems come into our life because other people have sinned against us, and it's caused a problem. Sometimes problems come into our life just because we've made a dumb decision. Other times, problems come because other people have made a dumb decision that affects us. Sometimes problems come in our life because of demons. and demonic powers. There are lots and lots of reasons why problems happen. But no matter what the reason is for our problems, God can use our problems to equip us and to mature us. And whenever we experience a problem, we should never be surprised by it. You know why? Because problems are normal. Say that out loud. Problems are normal. They really are. Everybody has problems. They are normal. We should not be surprised when they happen. The Apostle Peter said it like this: Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. Problems are normal. And God uses problems in our life in lots of different ways. First of all, God uses problems at times to direct us. To direct us. God oftentimes will use a problem to point us in a new direction. Or maybe even to motivate us to change. Look at Proverbs 20, verse 30. It says, sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. Have you found that to be true? I have. You know, somebody once said, we don't change when we see the light. We change when we feel the heat. That's pretty true, isn't it? And the reality is, look at number two. We would rarely change if we didn't have problems. You know, we'd postpone making difficult decisions if we never had any problems. We would ignore illness if we never felt bad. We would never work on the relationships in our life if we never had a relational problem. Most of us probably wouldn't try to get closer to God unless we had problems. You know, the reason that I surrendered my life to Jesus when I was 22 years old is because I was overwhelmed with problems. I had problems in school. I had relational problems. I had drug and alcohol problems. I had problems with a girlfriend, if you can imagine that. I had problems, just all kinds of problems. I was going to Grand Canyon University. I was playing baseball. I had injury problems, all kinds of problems. Now, I thank God for those problems, because without them, I never would have found Jesus. So the first question to ask yourself when you're going through a problem is this: where is this problem leading me? Is this problem leading me in a new direction? Is this problem directing me to get closer to God? God uses problems to direct us. Second way God uses problems is sometimes he uses them to inspect us, to test us, to see what we're really like on the inside. Because most of the time, we don't really know. You know, somebody once said this: Christians are kind of like tea bags. You don't know what's inside of them until you put them in hot water. It's pretty true, isn't it? Moses said this to the children of Israel in the wilderness. He said, and you should remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. 7 times in the Bible, it says God tested the Israelites. Why? Because God was seeing whether or not they were ready to go into the promised land. And every time God tested the Israelites, they failed the test. And so each time God says, okay, you failed the test, another trip around the wilderness. And they did that for 40 years. Why? Because they never passed the test. God uses tests sometimes, or uses problems sometimes, in order to test us. Look at the way James said it. He said in James 1, consider it all joy my brethren, when you encounter various trials, or you could say various problems, why? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. By the way, that word perfect in the original language means mature, that you would be mature. So I want you to notice in verse 2 where James says, when you encounter various trials. He does not say if you encounter. He says when. We are going to have trials in life, problems in life. They're the norm of life. And the trials and the problems that you go through are tailor-made just for you. Trials come in all shapes and sizes. They're all varied, but they're also all purposeful. God has a purpose behind every single one of them, and He's trying to mature us through them. You know, God compares going through problems and trials like a refining process. You know, when a goldsmith is trying to refine some gold, he or she heats up the gold, and then the impurities called the dross rises to the top. And once the impurities rise to the top, the goldsmith skims them off. And now the gold is much more pure. And the goldsmith will just keep doing this until he or she can see his or her own reflection in the gold. And that's very similar to what God is doing in our lives. In fact, God said it this way in Isaiah 48. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. See, sometimes problems come our way because God wants to get some dross, some impurities out of our life. And so the next question to ask yourself when you're going through a problem is, what do problems reveal about me? What am I really like on the inside? Third way God uses problems, He uses them to correct us at times. See, one thing you need to know about life is that life is a school, and problems are the curriculum. Life is a school, problems are the curriculum. You know, maybe you feel like you're in problems 101 right now. Maybe you feel like you're problems 201. Some of you are saying, Pastor, I'm getting my PhD in problems right now. I hear you. That's how I feel right now as well. David said it this way, Psalm 119. It's good for me that I was afflicted. Why? That I may learn your statutes. See, we learn a lot more from suffering than we do success, don't we? And you know why that is? Because sometimes that's the only way that you and I can learn, at least certain things. You know, when we were all little kids, somebody told us, don't touch a hot stove. Did we? Yes. Once. But we learned, didn't we? How do we learn? We learn by pain. And God oftentimes uses problems and pain to correct us. In fact, look at the writer of Hebrews says it. He says in Hebrews 12, as you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as His own children. Whoever heard of a child who is never disciplined by its father? If God doesn't discipline you as He does all of His children, it means that you are illegitimate and are not really His children at all. See, discipline is the proof that you really are a follower of Jesus. You know, how do you know if you're a follower of Jesus or not? You can't sin and get away with it. You get disciplined by God. You know, those of you who are parents, do you discipline your neighbor's children? No, you don't. Why not? Because they're not yours. Do you discipline your own kids? Yes. And why do you do that? Because you love them. That's your motive. You want them to go in the right path. You know, one of the proofs that your kids are in your family is that when they do something wrong, you discipline them. What's the same way with God? God loves you too much to allow you to sin and just get away with it. And so at times, he disciplines us. How? By allowing, or even at times, even sending a problem our way. And so the next question to ask yourself when you're going through a problem, number three, is what is this problem teaching me? What is this teaching me? When you have a problem, don't say, why me? It's a lot of people do. That's a pity party. Don't do that. Say, what can I learn from this? Say it out loud. What can I learn from this? Because God may want to teach you something about yourself through this problem. Maybe he's trying to teach you a character flaw that you have. Maybe he's trying to teach you a blind spot or a weakness that you need to work on. But the truth is, number four, God will use problems to force us to face the truth. Why? Because usually we're not willing to face hard truths about ourselves until we're forced to face them. God uses problems to correct us. Fourth way God uses problems, he uses problems sometimes to protect us. Sometimes a problem is actually a blessing in disguise. You know, that problem might be the thing that's keeping you from getting involved in something that's going to be much more harmful. Peter said it like this in 1 Peter 3, "For it is better, if God should will it so, that you suffer for doing what is right rather than for doing what is wrong." See, he's saying it's safer to do what's right and honest and suffer for it than to compromise your integrity and not suffer. Because eventually, you will suffer. Eventually, you will reap what you sow. And the classic example of this is Joseph in the Old Testament. Many of you know the story of Joseph. Joseph was one of 12 brothers. Their father's name was Jacob. And Joseph was Jacob's favorite son. And he made it very apparent to all of his boys. And the other 11 boys were very jealous of Joseph because of this. And so one day they decided they were going to sell Joseph into slavery because of their jealousy. So they sold him into slavery, went back to their dad, Jacob, told Jacob that Joseph had been killed by a wild animal. Well, eventually, Joseph is taken to Egypt. And his owner's wife ends up trying to seduce him. And when he tells her no, she cries rape. And Joseph is thrown into prison, even though he hasn't done anything wrong. Now, after he's been in prison for 2 years, not knowing if he's ever going to get out, he ends up interpreting a dream for a fellow inmate. And then a while later, Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, he has a dream. And he's heard that Joseph can interpret dreams. So he asks Joseph to interpret his dream. Joseph does. And Pharaoh's dream, by the way, is about a worldwide famine that's going to happen. And then after Joseph interprets the dream and tells him that's what it means, there's going to be a worldwide famine, Joseph gives Pharaoh a plan for what to do about this worldwide famine. And because of that, Joseph ends up being elevated to be the second person in charge in all of Egypt. Now, because of this worldwide famine, Joseph's brothers, who are up in Israel, they come down to Egypt to get food because Egypt is the only place in the world that has food. Joseph recognizes them. They don't recognize him. And Joseph could have easily had them killed. But instead, Joseph says this to his brothers in Genesis 50, verse 20, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result to preserve many people alive. What an incredible response, right? See, you are going to be hurt in life, sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally. But no matter what the reason is, God can turn it around for good if you respond in the right way and trust God to work it out for the best. So the fourth question to ask yourself when you're going through a problem, how is this problem protecting me? What may God be preventing in my life through this problem? You know, it's like the true story about this guy who was in a shipwreck, and he ended up getting washed up on what happened to be an uninhabited island. And this guy cries out to God day and night to save him. Every day he's scanning the horizon, looking for help, looking for somebody to come and rescue, and nobody does. Eventually, he manages to build this sort of rough hut and put his very few possessions in it. Well, a few days later, he's out trying to scavenge for some food, and when he arrives back at his hut, the worst possible thing has happened. The hut is on fire, and smoke is just billowing up in the sky. He has no way to know how he's ever going to survive after this. But early, the very next day, a ship comes to the island and ends up rescuing him. And he asked the crew, how did you know that I was here? And they said, we saw your smoke signal. See, sometimes a problem ends up being a blessing in disguise. Fifth way God uses problems in our life is sometimes he uses them to perfect us, to mold us, to shape us, to make us into the person God wants us to be. Paul said it like this, and not only this, Romans 5, but we also exult in our tribulations, in our problems. Why? Knowing, we know something, that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint because of the Holy Spirit poured out within our, through the Holy Spirit poured out within our hearts who is given to us. See, God uses problems to build character in us. Because all of us, we're all sort of like a diamond in the rough. And so what does God do? He's trying to shape us. He's trying to mold us. What does God do? God comes along with a problem. And he brings with it a hammer and a chisel. And he works on that problem in our life, hammering and chiseling away. And if we don't learn the lesson, if that problem doesn't chip enough off of us, then what does God do? He gets a bigger hammer and a bigger chisel. And for some of you, I'm just going to be blunt, God has to use a jackhammer on some of you. He just does. But God will use whatever it takes because he loves you and he wants to mold you into the person that he created you to be. Because the fact is this, look at number two, God's number one purpose in your life and in my life is to make us like Jesus Christ. God's number one purpose is not to make us comfortable, not to make us always happy. It's to make us like Jesus. So what does he do? He uses problems. He uses circumstances, pressures, difficulties, and they build character in us. Look at Hebrews 5, talking about Jesus. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. What makes us think we're going to be any different than Jesus? So the fifth question to ask when you're going through a problem, how can I grow? How can I grow from this problem? Lord, use this problem, use this circumstance to grow me up in you. Problems are essential equipment in life. So what I want you to do right now is I want you to think of a problem that you have in your life right now. Might be a financial problem, relational problem, problem at work, might be a health problem, problem with a boss, a roommate, classmate. Just think of a problem. And I'm going to give you some prayers to pray for that problem. But anytime you're facing a problem, here's some prayers that you can use. I would encourage you to take this outline with you so that you can pray these prayers anytime you go through a problem. First prayer to pray is, Lord, are you using this problem to direct me? If so, what do you want me to change? God, help me to grow closer to you through this problem. You know, I've seen this happen so many times with different people in our church. People in our church, they're going through some sort of difficulty, some sort of problem. Might be a financial problem, might be a health problem, problem with one of their kids, whatever. And because of their response, God changes them for the better through that problem. Second thing to pray when you're going through a problem, Lord, are you using this problem to inspect me? What does this problem reveal about my life? What am I really like on the inside? Is this problem revealing a weakness, a misplaced priority, a compromise? What does this problem reveal about my life? Third thing to pray when you're going through a problem, Lord, are you using this problem to correct me? What do you want me to learn? God, help me to face hard truths about myself. Fourth thing to pray when you're going through a problem, Lord, are you using this problem to protect me? God, help me to trust you in this. Help me to trust that you really know what's best for me. And then the fifth thing to pray when you're going through a problem, Lord, are you using this problem to perfect me? God, use this problem to make me more like Christ. Help me to grow through this problem. See, God is at work in all of our lives, even when we don't recognize it, even when we don't understand it. But it's much more effective when we cooperate with God. So I'm going to give you three quick truths about problems for you to remember whenever you're going through them. No matter what you're going through, I want you to know, first of all, letter A, God sees what you're going through. He sees it. He knows all about it. He's not caught by surprise. Second of all, God cares about your problem. You matter to him. I love this verse in Psalm 31. I will be glad and rejoice in your unfailing love. Why? For you have seen my troubles and you care about the anguish of my soul. If you have anguish in your soul right now, God not only sees it, he cares about it. And the third truth about problems to remind yourself about is God wants to change you through it. And so let him. Problems are part of our essential equipment for life. We're going to end our service by worshiping God and receiving communion. And I want to encourage you, before you receive communion, take your problem that you thought about earlier, take it to God, and talk to him about it for a few moments. Because God may even show you what he's doing in your life through this problem. But I want to read to you what the Apostle Paul says about receiving communion in 1 Corinthians 11, starting in verse 23. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. So before you receive communion, examine yourself before God just for a moment or two. You don't have to get all introspective. If there's something in your life that's sort of messing up your relationship with Jesus, he will point it out to you very quickly. And all you need to do when he does that is confess that to him and ask him to forgive you. And he will instantly forgive you. And then you will be ready to participate in communion. Now, if you're new to our church, there are stations all around the room that have the elements. It might look when you come up here that there's only one cup, but it's actually two cups, one inside of a cup. We call it a cup and a cup. The bread is on the bottom. The juice is on the top. You can break it apart. And just take a few moments. Examine yourself. You can take the elements back to your seat. If you want to receive the elements here at the altar, you're welcome to do that. You're welcome to receive communion with a friend or a loved one. And by the way, the communion tables are open to anybody here, as long as you can say, I need the mercy of God in my life. You don't have to be a member here. You don't have to be a regular attender here. If you say this morning, I need the mercy of God, then the communion tables are open to you. We're going to worship, receive communion, sort of a self-serve thing, whenever you're ready. And then the band's going to play two songs. I'll come back and close the service after that.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. Cry. Oh.
us as we worship today.
If you've been forgiven, and if you've been redeemed, sing the song forever to the Lamb. And if you walk in freedom, and if you bear His name, sing the song forever to the Lamb.
What an incredible blessing it is to be able to know that you're cleansed of your sin because of the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. What a great thing to be able to come and participate in communion, know you're right with God, and go about the rest of your day trying to follow the Lord the best you can. You know, if you'd like somebody to pray for you before you leave, we would love to do that. I'm going to dismiss the service in just a moment. But if you'd like to stick around, we'll have a ministry team, a team that prays for people, are trained to do that. They'll be up here at the altar. We'd love to pray for you personally about any kind of prayer request that you might have. Next weekend, we're going to continue with this series about Equipped for Life. I hope you'll be here for that. So I'm going to pray a blessing on you before you go. And if the ministry team wants to come to the front, Lord, thank you for your presence with us. And as we all go our separate ways, God, I pray that you would really bless each one of us. Bless us, keep us, cause your face to shine upon us, be gracious to us. Lift up your favor upon us, God, and give us peace as we go. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, Amen. God bless you. Say hi to a bunch of people on your way out. Have a great rest of your day. We'll see you next weekend.